from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Good morning, a happy Thursday, happy best day of the week to everybody out there, whether you're listening on ESPN 1320, whether you're listening on the free Odyssey app, or maybe you were tapped in on ESPN 1320 TV at youtube.com/ESPN1320 or twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Also streaming live on Twitter. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out. That's James Hamm. He's sitting right over there, I promise. I'm Kyle Madsen. I'm sitting right here, I promise. Seven trades have gone down so far this morning in the NBA.
You're making a lot of promises out there. I don't know. Yes, seven trades. It's been wild. You kind of felt like this might be, last night I was driving home. I'm like,
we'll talk about last night.
We don't have to talk about it. We'll just skip.
No.
Look into the light.
You don't get to be a team's extra point on the season and we skip talking about it.
Okay.
Detroit, now it's seven wins after last night's victory.
That seems to be the theme this morning. Seven wins, seven trades. I don't know. 7-minute abs. I don't know.
It's a negative for me, Coach.
It's a negative.
No promises there.
No promises. Yeah, a bit of a wild morning. But I was driving home last night, and I'm like, you know what? I feel like this thing is going to bust loose in the morning. And I don't know if that's like league-wide or just Kings. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for me, I'm like, hey, it kind of felt like we've had all of this quietness, this weirdness, and that people are doing work behind the scenes. So, I don't know. We'll see.
When we talked about it yesterday on the show, it felt like Detroit, who the Kings played last night and lost to, and again, we'll talk about that here shortly, but it felt like Detroit was going to be one of the teams that would be the most active. They were 6-43 going into last night. They've got veterans who aren't doing them any good. They've got young players who can probably be jettisoned in favor of minutes for young players who may be a piece of their team. And you see that today. So far, Detroit, and we'll push the trade stuff to a little bit later, but Detroit specifically has traded Alec Burks and Bojan Bogdanovic to the Knicks in exchange for Quentin Grimes, Evan Fournier, Malachi Flynn, Ryan Archidiakono, and 2 second-round picks.
Ooh.
Detroit also acquired Daniel House from Philadelphia. House and a second-round pick from the Knicks. Via the Knicks from Philly. Philly gets some cap room for the buyout market. That's according to Woj. And then they've also traded... No, they waived Joe Harris.
They waived Joe Harris. $19.9 million Joe Harris.
It's a lot of money.
We want you to take this $10 million check and leave.
Here's $10 million, exit the building. You know what? If Aaron, our boss, walked in here right now with a $10 million check and said never come back, I wouldn't even say goodbye.
Yep.
I wouldn't even take the time.
You wouldn't even say goodbye to me, Kyle?
I'll text you.
That's rude.
We'll FaceTime. I know what Jamba Juice to find you out in the mornings. No. So that's what's going on. Gordon Hayward has been traded to Oklahoma City. Buddy Hield is on the move again. He's going from Indy to Philly. Daniel Gafford, the center for Washington, he's headed to Dallas. A lot of stuff shaking up the West. We'll talk about what that means for the Kings.
We have another trade right now.
Great.
Charlotte is trading PJ Washington to the Dallas Mavericks for a package around Grant Williams, Seth Curry, and a first-round pick.
Hmm.
Sort of seem like... They missed out on Kyle Kuzma, and Kyle Kuzma is available.
Yeah, Mark Stein yesterday on NBC Sports California said the Mavs were one of the teams in on Kyle Kuzma, mm-hmm. and given that they've acquired Daniel Gafford and now went and got PJ Washington and are dealing all their trade chips, kind of makes it seem like they were punting on that idea.
Yeah, I don't know. Like they might like break this thing up. I don't know. Like, usually when you get one trade, there's always a possibility for more. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, so we'll talk about what this all means for Sacramento, how the West has changed, whether the Kings are going to get in on the action. And if the Kings do get in on the action, again, if you're listening while you're driving, or maybe you're at work and you've got to leave, or whatever the case, you don't have to turn us off. We're on the radio on 1320 AM. Download that free Odyssey app, search ESPN 1320. You can tap in there. That way you can just take us with you wherever you're going. Maybe you got errands to run today. Or, of course, YouTube and Twitch. We are also there if you are heading into work or maybe you're going to be somewhere where you can't be in front of a radio or listening on your phone. You can tap in on the computer at youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Any news that happens in the lead up to the noon trade deadline today, we will have it for you right here, breaking it down, what it means for the NBA, what it means for the Kings. The Kings.
Mm.
They fall to the Pistons 133-120 last night, and we have a new contender, James, for worst loss of the year.
Oh, no, that's it.
I think the reason this one is worse than all of the other bad losses they've suffered this year, where they lose to a shorthanded Portland team or they lose to a shorthanded Charlotte team. I guess they beat a shorthanded Portland team in overtime, but they lost to Portland later. They've lost to a shorthanded Charlotte team. What makes last night so bad for me was I said to you during the game, I was like, man, it feels like the Kings are up 50 right now. Like, they just feel like they're controlling it. They feel like they're fine, and they're eventually going to pull away. Like, the Pistons are hitting some shots, but eventually the Kings are going to, like we saw them do in Detroit, are going to put their foot on the gas and pull away in this game. It's just really how it felt. And Domas hits the three at the end of the third quarter. Kings go up two. They've erased this 15-point deficit, and it's like, all right, here it is. They're winning this game by 20. They are going to run these dudes out of the gym in the fourth quarter. All right. And then they get smoked in their own house in the fourth quarter.
By Jaden Ivey. Tapping his head the whole time.
That was tough.
I'm not sure what he's doing, but...
I don't know either, but that's a strong celebration. I'm kind of here for it. But yeah, so he goes for a career high 37. Keegan Murray has zero, by the way.
Yes.
It was... De'Aaron Fox wasn't good. The Kings, once again, play no defense. They just weren't good enough.
Kyle, this really does make me, it reminds me of the Charlotte game completely. Again, a bunch of players missing for Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Detroit sat Bojan Bogdanovic, who they trade today. They sat Cade Cunningham. But what happens in the NBA is if you leave a team hanging around, you run the risk of one guy getting hot and ruining everything. Mm-hmm. And against Charlotte the first time, it was Rozier. Terry Rozier got hot late and torched the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
This game, it was even a combination of Burks and Jaden Ivey. But you let somebody have life, and yep. They took advantage of it. And that's your bad. That's the Kings' bad. Like, it's just really, really bad. This is the worst loss.
You know when you go into work some days, and I know you experience this with writing, as do I,
mm-hmm.
sometimes you experience it with radio, particularly in the summer, but anybody who has a job or anybody who's ever been to school, you know there's days where you're like, I'm dialed today. I am locked in. Mm-hmm. And then there's other days where you're going, I would rather be literally anywhere else. I have work to do. I'm skipping it. Or I'm half-assing it. I'm mailing it in today. Everybody's done that at least once in their life.
Yep.
And if you haven't, shout out to you. You are the king of society. It feels like that's what the Kings do in these games, where they look like they want to be anywhere else than at work. And I cannot get my head around that. I can get my head around that if the Pistons had looked like that. Yeah, man, they're 6-43. They're not going anywhere. They're planning vacations. They can't wait for April 14th for this season to be over.
Yeah.
You're the Kings. You lost your playoff spot last night, by the way. They're now in the play-in tournament.
Oh, no.
They entered this year talking about taking a step forward and all those matchups with the Warriors early in the year. They got asked about, and they're like, we're trying to get to that level, trying to get to that level of making championship runs years and years in a row and taking these steps forward, and that's fine. Even if they were had this record and they were a first-round exit in the playoffs, that's fine. But it's, and Mike Brown said this last night after the game, I don't mind losing. I would like to win every game. I don't mind losing. I do mind that there are players, or there are some of us, who are going to look in the mirror and not be able to say that I left everything on the court. And that there is a problem that goes beyond the trade deadline. It's a problem that goes beyond X's and O's. That is just an internal problem that whoever that is on the Kings has to individually fix themselves.
I agree. Like, watching that, that to me is what I like to call a check-in game, right? Where, okay, like, nobody's playing well, and then you have a player check-in. Like, okay, I'm present. I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, they've got one guy. And then another guy will check in. Mm-hmm. And then another. And that you're hoping that by the time you get into the third quarter, four guys have fully, like, we're here. We're ready to run this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they got that, right? I thought that Sabonis was amazing. I thought that Kevin Huerter early on hitting the threes. Trey Lyles came off the bench and started hitting the threes. And then Malik Monk. You know, you started having all these guys check in.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's just not enough, especially when you're as bad defensively as the Kings are.
That's it.
I mean, you're going to go in there and you're going to let a team that isn't very good at all. I mean, they're the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
But and you're going
to on track to be the worst team ever.
And well, they're probably not anymore, but yeah, you're going to let them shoot, like, what was it? 54.6% from three, whatever it was.
Yeah.
What
54.8.
What is going on here?
Seventh time this year, they've allowed a team to shoot 50% or better from three. Tied for the most in the league.
That's amazing.
With the Nets and the Spurs.
Yeah, they are the, I'm going to guess that after last night's game, they've got to be number one in, well, number 30 in three-point defense.
Stand by. 29th.
Still 29th. They're 39.7 now.
39.7 for a whole season.
That's what they're giving up. That is absolutely ludicrous, man.
That is putrid, dude. And this is not, this is not a run of three games where it's, you're going, ah, teams are just making shots. Mike Brown talked about in detail in his press conference.
Broke it down.
All the different things. It's not, yeah, you know what? We need to close out harder. It's, we need to close out harder. We need to be chest on, they call it, what, hipping a hot shooter?
Yeah.
Where you're on their hip, and when they rise, you rise. It's not that late closeout. Talked about the dribble drive and how bad they got killed on the, all the different things that they did wrong. And it's not, oh, that happened last night. It's, this has happened all year.
He said they spent 5 minutes on closeouts
before the game.
Shoot around in the morning. They 5 minutes of their defensive time. This is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. And then he, like, says it straight up. And then I watched De'Aaron Fox go up and stop 2 feet away from somebody with his hands out. Like, get into their hip. Get your hand up.
Mm-hmm.
Very strange. Like, he's like, his, I, like, the way he expressed himself was like, look, it's not, if they were doing what we were asking,
mm-hmm,
and that wasn't working, then I need to change something, right, like, schematically.
Right.
But they're not doing what we're asking.
Right.
So what am I supposed to, well, what you're supposed to do at this point, probably play some different players.
even if they're worse. Like you got to you have to do
find somebody that will do what you need.
Right, literally anything. So and the way he sounded in his presser last night too, he sat down and just talked for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
It sounded exasperated. It sounded like not necessarily searching for answers because he knows the answer. The players have to execute what they're coaching, but he doesn't have the why on why that stuff's not being executed.
Yeah. You go 5-2 on a road trip, great vibe coming back, and then you lose to the worst team in the NBA at home.
Yeah. Let's get into some of the minutia with six quick thoughts. You can find those on James's Twitter, but we're going to talk about those and break some of those down in depth. And of course, the NBA trade deadline is today at noon. All the latest trade deadline movement, we will have it for you here on ESPN 1320. Stick with us all day. We've got you till noon. D'Lo and Casey will be reacting to the trade deadline and the Kings loss from noon to 4. So stay tapped into ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. We'll be back in a second.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento Sports Leader. Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Got plenty of trade deadline action for you today. What do all the moves mean for the Kings? We will be discussing that.
Mm-hmm.
We got some Super Bowl stuff I want to talk about. Super Bowl week is really killing me. All the media and stuff. My new pet peeve is great player like Drew Brees on, I don't want to pick a radio station, but I'll just like make one up like on like ESPN radio. Talking about the Niners and Chiefs, and it's just really clear that he very vaguely watches and pays attention. And they're asking Drew Brees like he's some kind of expert. Like, bro, he doesn't know. Talked about, he's like, oh, the Niners, they did it right. They built the offensive line first. Like, don't they did.
What are you talking about? Like, I literally have asked Kyle for 2 years on the radio, even when we didn't have a show together, when they're going to add offensive linemen. That's great.
All right, we'll put a pin in the Super Bowl stuff because we need to get to six quick thoughts from James Hamm on last night's Sacramento Kings loss to the Detroit Pistons.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go?
Bad.
Kings insider James Hamm has six notes you need to know.
Yeah, he does.
Here are James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
Six of them things from James Hamm, brought to you by, well, it could be you. rich.ripley@odyssey.com if you would like to sponsor Six Quick Thoughts. We do it after each and every Kings game, and if you are so inclined, we could find other things to do Six Quick Thoughts about during the off season. But that's for the pitch meeting. Anyway, James, we sat next to each other at the game last night. It was a delight.
We did.
Your first quick thought on the Kings loss.
Didn't have it.
No, they didn't.
De'Aaron Fox was a step slow from the jump and it hurt his team's chance to win.
Boy, did it.
12 points, 7 assists, 0 for 4 from 3, 5 of 14 from the field. He just looked like he was exhausted. I don't know, Kyle. He looked like he wasn't ready to compete. And I'm not sure why that was.
Earlier today when I said, you know those times where you just look like you don't want to be at work and you're going to punt it today?
Yep.
In fact, you know what? Specific example, going to call myself out. On Tuesday, I have a writing job, NinersWire.com. Check it out. That requires like a lot of work. And on Tuesday, my contributor wrote something and I wrote something, which is well short of what I need to be doing, especially this week. And mm-hmm. I'm like, you know what? I'm just not feeling it today. I'm out. I'm done. I didn't write anything else. That's how De'Aaron Fox looked yesterday. Like he just... And again, I don't know. I'm not in the guy's head. Maybe he's banged up. Maybe he's got something going on. I have no clue. I based on my assessment of watching him on the court, he looked like he didn't have it, to use your wording.
Yeah, he just looked like he wasn't ready, wasn't engaged. You know, like tough. And the worst part is like when nothing is going right, and then he walks into a three in transition. that's usually when it's like, or with 17 on the clock, and you're like, okay, look, man, like, it's okay if that's, if you want to be a facilitator tonight, be a facilitator and be a defensive player. That's fine. And he had 7 assists.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, don't go 5 of 14. Like, find somebody else. Like, look to somebody else to lead the charge.
Well, the thing that's weird is, I mean, he goes 5 of 14. He missed a dunk.
Mm-hmm.
He missed a couple of shots in the paint that you normally see go down for him. It wasn't there. The number I circle, and this is something that you brought up, and ever since you brought it up, it's glaring to me. The 0 for 4 from the stripe.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Can just tell, you can tell what kind of night De'Aaron Fox is going to have by how his first couple of free throws go.
No, totally.
And he goes 0 for 4 from the stripe. On the defensive end, he got a little physical, thought maybe there was an offensive foul, then he gets whistled for a foul, and it's, and there it just wasn't.
Yeah.
Just wasn't checked in.
No, I mean, to be honest with you, that was a game where I didn't think Davion Mitchell played exceptionally well either. He had some moments, but it was a game where Mike Brown was just kind of searching. Like, what are you going to do? Mm-hmm. Like, there comes a point, though, where he does need to say, okay, like, look, if that's what we're doing here, then I need to try somebody else at your position.
Yeah.
For tonight. Like, I'm not saying.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a permanent thing, but.
No. Like,
send some kind of message, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, look, if that's where we're at, then let's go ahead and try something different.
All right, number 2.
Trey Lyles, elite shooter. Former Piston. He put up 13 of his 19 points before halftime, chipped in 2 boards. He has been so good over the last couple of weeks hitting from the outside. So I thought that he definitely had a good game.
Yeah, sure did.
He didn't hit the glass, which is a problem. He had 2 rebounds, but that was kind of a problem with everybody last night.
Yeah. Glad to see Trey Lyles making 3s.
Yeah.
Number 3.
Domantas Sabonis was having a pedestrian game through the first 24 minutes. In the third, he was just incredible. He pushed his double-double streak to 33 games, finished with 30 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists. Like, look... like, if there's someone you're going to blame, it's not him in this one. Like, I'm not blaming Trey Lyles. I'm not blaming Domantas Sabonis. Like, there are a couple of players here who did actually play well and mm-hmm. had a good game. And Sabonis is one of them. And I don't want to hear...
Offensively, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, defensively, there's all kinds of issues defensively with this team.
It is straight up.
Yeah.
Across the board. My one nitpick on Domantas Sabonis.
Yep.
And talked about it last night. He went for 30. Like, yes. Thank you. Like, this is what I want to see more of from him. Jaden Ivey with 8:12 left makes a 3 to make it 108-105 Pistons. Domantas Sabonis comes down, has a layup. It's there. He turns and fires it out to Trey Lyles for 3. I get Trey Lyles is hot. Fine. He misses it. Later on, Kings get a stop. Kings get a couple stops. They go down 108-105. Domas again has the ball in the paint, has a chance to go up with a shot, turns around, throws it out to Harrison Barnes, who misses. And I get making the right basketball play. I understand all of it. He is a max player in a spot like that where your team is struggling to hang on to the rope. To use the metaphor that we use all the time in this show, I would love to see him go up and get a basket there. I get that Trey Lyles can shoot it. I get that Harrison Barnes can shoot it, but those are not the guys I'm paying to hit big shots for me.
Yeah.
And that's again, he was very good last night, but those 2 possessions just stick in my craw.
Yeah, I know. I could see like that possession when he's just right there. All he had to do is, and he's on his left.
Right.
Right, yep. He's on his left, and he's got an open. It's right there, stop. and he hits the guy in the corner. Yep. I didn't get it. Like
if there's 30 seconds left, great play, great pass. You're not. You need a 3 there. There's 8 minutes to go. You take your 2 points.
Yeah,
cut it to 1. Keep the momentum. Anyways, that's like I said. Just nitpicking. He was obviously very good last night.
He was
number 4.
The Flying Monk. Malik Monk took a while to get going, like most of the other Kings. Mm-hmm. But once he started sprinting around the court, he put on show. He struggled from 3, but managed 23 points, 10 assists, and 2 blocks. And again, I will repeat this. Malik Monk leads the Sacramento Kings in blocks.
That's a problem.
You're a six man.
Who's not an awesome defender either.
Who might be 6 foot three.
Ooh, generously.
He's listed at 6 foot three, but might be 6 foot three. That is who leads your team in blocks. And like, you know, like he's played really well for most of the season. He woke up out of his little slumber here and he's been, you know, he's kind of back on the right path. But definitely one of those things where, like, he was there. He was present. He was ready.
Tough to squander a 23-10 game from your sixth man.
Yeah, and a 30-12 with seven assists game from your center.
Yeah, that's bad. Number five.
Kevin Huerter came out firing. He knocked down three straight triples to open the game, finished with four of nine, so that's a problem. So that means he finished, what, one of six? But 16 points, and then he got ejected, Kyle. He got ejected.
You know what? Honestly, good.
Good for him.
Like, finally, somebody did something abrasive.
Yes.
God! And he earned it, too. Malik Monk got fouled on that three. No call. Kevin Huerter goes down. Intentional foul. Barked at the ref. Double T. He's gone. Like, that, you know what? I'm fine with it. Especially in that spot.
Yeah.
Game was over. Get your T's. Get your money's worth.
Very interesting to see a player get double T that we never see get text at all.
Yeah. Number six.
Stepped on the gas. With Fox out of sorts, Kings needed a boost. Davion Mitchell made the decision to push a pace. He made the decision to push the pace within the half-court set, which I thought was really interesting. He's quick. Mm-hmm. He needs to use it more often, and I thought he was all right. 9 points and an assist.
Yeah, he looked more. In the preseason, there was a feeling of, wow, Davion's playing with a lot more certainty.
Yeah.
He just has that. And then the regular season started, and it looked like he lost that. Looked like he regained it last night. And if you're going to get a better version of Davion Mitchell, I think overall you're going to get a better version of the Kings because they need as much help as they can defensively. And if he's not going to be a negative offensively, I think you're going to see a lot of Davion Mitchell minutes down the stretch here. All right, let's hit the break. We will continue talking about this game. We'll have trade deadline updates for you. What do all the trades mean for the Kings in the West? And then we're going to divvy out some blame for what happened in the game last night.
Okay.
And I might take some responsibility. I'll tell you why next on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
You know what stands out to me?
Yeah.
So Chris Duarte got hurt last night. rolled his ankle in pregame warmups, and then you saw him in the locker room, I guess?
Yeah, so I had no idea that he had been injured. I was in the locker room in pregame, and he comes in on crutches. And I'm like, whoa, like, hey, what's going on? Mm-hmm. And then I was alerted that Chris Biederman had just reported that he had been ruled out for the game with a sprained ankle or with an ankle injury.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Chris Duarte's on crutches and his ankle looked like it was the size of a baseball.
Yeah, it wasn't a, hey, he's on the trade market, he rolled his ankle injury. It was an actual...
Oh, yeah, he was on crutches and trying to get to his locker, and then they brought him out some slides to put on. At first, I thought, okay, well, maybe his ankles are just, you know, like everybody's feet are different. So I wanted to, you know, I was kind of like, are you doing all right? And and then he pulled off his sock off his other foot, and I'm like, oh, no. Like his other ankle looks normal size, and then his right ankle looked pretty big.
Ugh.
Yeah, like, oh, that just happened.
Yikes.
So the Kings have their practice facility, which is attached to Golden 1 Center.
Mm-hmm.
He was warming up in the practice facility and rolled his ankle, and I'm not sure how that happened. We do not have any of the updates yet on him. We don't know if he went in for an MRI or x-rays, but I'm assuming that both of those things were taking place, and they said that they would get back to us, but that was not one of those, hey, guy is injured and, you know, I mean, guy might get traded, so we're not going to put him out there.
Right.
Yeah, it was not one of those things.
Hmm.
But it kind of brought us to the discussion that, you know, the Kings have now been linked through The Athletic to Caleb Martin. One of the Martin twins who plays for the Miami Heat, 28 years old, under contract this year at $6.8 million and like $7 million next year, on-again, off-again starter for the Heat. And realistically, that's who the Kings, I believe, were hoping they were getting with Chris Duarte.
Yeah.
Is like a third Martin twin.
Yeah.
Like a triplet, now, a Martin triplet, if you will.
So two things on this. I want to put a pin in the Chris Duarte thing real quick. Did we get the David Roddy, Royce O'Neal trade?
We did not get to the David Roddy portion of it. The Royce O'Neal, I think we did talk about.
Okay, so Royce O'Neal is headed to the Suns.
Yep.
For 3 second round picks, and then Memphis is sending David Roddy to the Suns for a pick swap as part of a three-way deal with Phoenix and Brooklyn. The Suns acquire Royce O'Neal and David Roddy. And the trade includes second rounders from the Suns and pick swaps.
Hmm.
According to Shams.
Yeah. I mean, as far as I'm seeing right now, as we sit at 10:37, two teams that you're competing with, the team that,
yeah,
like you were last night the fifth seed, you've now slid, what, to the seventh seed, right?
Mm-hmm.
The two teams above you are the Dallas Mavericks and the Phoenix Suns. They are out there actively improving their rosters right now. Right now. It's happening. They're doing it. And so far, the Kings have not done much.
They've done nothing. And also, real quick, nothing. Just for the sake of updates, Woj just reported that the 76ers are sending Patrick Beverley to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yes.
Right on.
Hmm. Pat Bev.
That doesn't affect the West.
No.
But here's where Chris Duarte kind of ties into all of this Kings looking to get better thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was the move this offseason for me, because Sasha was a pretty significant question mark. Sasha was A, how's he going to look in the NBA? B, what position is he going to play? C, how tall is he? Like, remember when he walked in for the presser and it was like, oh, he's a legit 6'7".
Yeah.
6'8". Like, okay, great. So that was a massive, massive question mark. But Chris Duarte was the one where the Kings were running it back, but they wanted to make these tweaks, right? They wanted to make these tweaks where, okay, you have this great offense, but get to mid-level defense.
Yeah.
Be just like capable of getting a couple of stops late in the game. Be capable of getting stops like last night where the Kings get a bucket to cut it to one. Detroit hits a three.
Yeah.
Kings get another bucket, okay, cut it back to two. Detroit hits a three. Just so I thought Chris Duarte was going to be a huge, huge piece of that. Because when he came out from Oregon. He was a very good defender. We saw that even in his first year with the Pacers. He knocked down a three, and I thought he was going to be a perfect fit for just everything that would that really ailed the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And then Davion Mitchell as well, right? You see Davion getting after it in the preseason. Okay, he looks like he's found his role. Here's this. Well, as we sit here now on February 8th, an hour and 20-ish minutes before the trade deadline, the Kings are just kind of the same team they were last year. And they look about the same. It's I think I've been trying to overthink this, and it's just kind of obvious. They're playing, for the most part, the same players.
Yes.
And they're getting, for the most part, the same results. And that's the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Something like that, yes.
So the Duarte injury last night, as when that happened, it's like, okay, well, I know he hasn't been playing, but okay, what options does this give the Kings? And I'm going, oh, well, they're just kind of doing the same thing they were anyway, so this doesn't really change anything.
Well, I mean, to your point, Kyle, mm-hmm. like the Kings played 9 players last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, your starters, which have been the same starters for the last 2 years, Fox, Herter, Sabonis, Murray, Barnes. Off the bench, Monk, Mitchell, Trey Lyles. Sasha Vezenkov played 5 minutes and 31 seconds. So we don't have minutes for JaVale McGee. We don't have minutes for Alex Len. We don't, like, even Alex Len was on the roster last year. But, mm-hmm. like, Chris Duarte, of course, is not playing because of the ankle injury, but he wasn't playing either way.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the exact same team that you had last year.
Yep.
And to be honest with you, they're not as good as they were last year. They're just not.
I don't
care what the record says, they're not.
Yeah, they're not as... What's the right word? I don't want to say not as good, but the intensity is not there. The urgency isn't there.
The consistency. Like, we can keep saying, using like descriptive words here. Like,
yeah, it all comes back to they're not as good.
Yeah, like their last season, you know, they didn't just drop bad games. They didn't. Mm-hmm. They didn't lose bad games. They didn't lose more than 4 in a row. They lost 4 in a row to start the season, but never did it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then they didn't lose games that were just, you know, easy wins.
Mm-hmm.
Last night should have been an easy win. It's not just the worst team in the NBA. It's the worst team in the NBA that shut down their two best players, one of which they traded later.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't lose that game. I don't care about a 7-game road trip. I don't care about any of it. At the end of the day, it's a loss in 82. And I know Fox says it's 1 of 82. Yeah, you're right. It is. It goes in the loss column. But you know what? What else is a loss of 82? The game against Denver, you're probably going to drop this weekend. That's also a 1 of 82. So I sure would like a win. That would be one of 82 wins as well, you know, like
yeah.
games.
Yeah.
But you don't have that anymore.
Mike Brown said it in his postgame presser, though. The issue is not the losses. The issue is not that they were 29-21 after 50 games last year. They are 29-21 after 50 games this year.
Yeah.
They are on the same path that they were a season ago. And if you had said before this year, if you had said, hey, I'll give you 29-21 after 50 games, you're going to be on the exact same track. Probably would have gone, all right, that's fine.
Okay.
Like I'll take that. But not like this, and it's what Mike Brown said in his presser, that it's not the fact that they're losing. You'd like to have a win every game, but you're going to lose some.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the fact that they're taking these losses. It's the fashion that they're happening, and the fact that we're in early February, and we're still, feels like once a week, twice a week, going, what the hell happened there? What happened in that game? And it comes down to what Mike Brown talked about, like being able to look yourself in the mirror and say, I left everything out on the court. We just got beat tonight. And that's not what's happening. The best version of the Kings, it last year, night in, night out, we saw the best version of this team almost 82 times.
Yes.
This year in 50 games, we've seen it, what, 25 times?
Maybe. Just, and I don't even know if it's that.
Like,
yeah.
And so they might go beat Denver. Sure. It's I'm of the belief the Kings are good enough on a given night to beat anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to matter because they might not be locked in the next night, or they may lose to the Spurs, or it just,
you know, I asked Malik in the locker room, you guys just had a 5-2 road trip, which was great. And it's like, yeah, it was great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I said, but then you come out here and you lose this game. You should be on a 6-2 streak, not a 5-3 streak. That's mm-hmm. just, I mean, you can't drop a game like that. It's way different. They would have been 10 games over 500 again, mm-hmm. going into a really tough, like 4-5, 6 game mm-hmm. stretch. Now there is no margin for error. This team could easily be in the 8th or 9th position by the end of next week, going into the All-Star break. It is what it is. Like, this is what happens when you know, again, trade deadline. Like, I keep saying this. You don't make a trade to make a trade. Mm-hmm. You make a trade because, Kyle, your roster is flawed and you need better players. You're making a trade because you're not good enough.
And
these other teams are making trades because they're not good enough. And they get it.
Right. They're trying to shake. And that's the thing that really jumped out to me about last night is maybe, I know it's not making a move to just make a move,
mm-hmm.
but it's making a move to put somebody different on the court.
Yeah.
Maybe Dorian Finney-Smith defends threes the way you want the Kings to defend threes. That alone fixes a lot of things.
Yeah.
And that's just one guy maybe doing the right thing. And maybe he doesn't, and it doesn't work. But I just know that when Mike Brown talks about all these coaching points and they go over it time and time again, and they did it for 5 minutes before the game today, and this keeps happening and blah, blah, blah. Like, at some point, like, all right, then get somebody else in there. If you've exhausted the options on your roster and teams are going to shoot 40% for the season from three against you, which, by the way, you're not going to win a ton of games with that happening,
mm-hmm.
then do something. Then do literally anything instead of rolling this out.
Yeah. Well, that, and I mean, you just played a team, just to further this case, you played a team last night, right, that was the worst team in the league,
mm-hmm.
and you lost.
Mm-hmm.
Their starting point guard last night was Killian Hayes. Killian Hayes just got waived. He had 8 points and 9 assists last night. Killian Hayes just got waived.
Oh, no.
The first guy off the bench last night was Joe Harris. Joe Harris just got waived. Like, that's the team you lost to. Not only did they sit their two best players, one of which they just, again, traded, but this is what you lost to. And they're on your home floor in front of a sold out crowd. That's tough, man. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, I think at some point, if guys don't want to follow the rules, if they don't want to listen, if they don't want to do what you're asking them to do on the defensive end, and you're going out there and giving up 39.7% from three, find someone else. You know, we got to get past the deadline because as of right now, you know, that was game 50 last night. On the season, Keon Ellis has been active for 48 games. And I'm not sure if it's games played or games active,
mm-hmm.
but he's basically run out of two-way time.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to make a decision on what you're going to do there. Either send him to Stockton or just like have him sit on your bench and not get to play.
Yeah,
because he can't. Mm-hmm. But like that's a player that has shown time and time again this season that he will listen with regards to defending the three.
I was shocked he didn't get in the game last night. I was so certain. We got Sasha minutes.
Yeah.
And down the stretch, Kings couldn't get a stop, and they just... two things. One, you just mentioned Killian Hayes. Not a good three-point shooter. He went 2-for-4 last night. When was the last time Killian Hayes made more than 1 3 in a basketball game?
Oh, I don't know.
Killian Hayes, 2-for-4 last night. When was the last time we think he made 2 threes in a basketball game?
I'm going to go last January.
No, not quite. Not that long.
Okay.
It was this year. Sorry, this season. Not this year, though.
Oh.
November 30th.
Oh.
At the Knicks, Killian Hayes, 2-for-3 from beyond the arc.
I mean, we might want to do that with a bunch of their players. When was the last time Marcus Sasser hit 2 of 6? And Mike Muscala.
Hey, man, I kind of like Marcus Sasser.
He got a little...
I think Marcus Sasser can play a little.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's great, but...
To me, he's got a little bit of self-made man in him.
He can also fill it up. He's shooting 43% from three.
Yeah, he's a guy that likes to attack, you know, and he's out there trying to prove that he belongs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2-for-6 against the Kings, but 2-for-3 against Orlando, 5-for-6. This is from three against the Clippers, 1-for-1 against Cleveland, 2-for-3 against OKC. He can fill it up.
Yeah.
He can shoot it. Hmm. But, yeah, man. We haven't even talked about Keegan Murray.
Oh, man.
What the hell was that? I hate the four fouls, and he's in a little bit of foul trouble, but didn't score. Didn't come into the game when Kevin Huerter got ejected.
Yeah.
Did he play any fourth quarter minutes?
Oh, I don't know. He finished with 20 minutes. That's not good.
He did not play in the fourth quarter.
Oh, wow.
And he played 6.5 minutes in the third quarter.
0 for 4 from the field, 0 for 3 from 3. He did have 4 rebounds and 4 assists, a steal and a block. But some of his fouls last night were not good.
Mm-mm. And Go ahead.
The last time they played this team, he had 32.
Yeah, torched him.
Yeah, he was really good.
But Mike Brown had no problem taking Keegan Murray out and saying, hey, you played 20 minutes, you don't have it tonight, you're done. You got to do that with somebody else, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. Not that you can just go bench De'Aaron Fox. Like, that would take a lot, but maybe a couple extra minutes rest. Hey, you know what? You normally check in at X time. We're gonna give it another minute. We're gonna give it another 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I like how Keon Ellis is playing right now. I like how Davion Mitchell's playing right now. They're gonna stay out there.
Well, even like if he's exhausted and he's showing signs mm-hmm. that he might not be ready to go, mm-hmm. it's okay to sit him a game. It mm-hmm. is. It's okay to say, hey, look, we're playing the Detroit Pistons tonight. We should be able to get this win without you.
Yeah.
We
saw them beat Cleveland. We saw them beat OKC. They have some good wins without De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough. I would say today, too, just for people out there, like the flexing that Adrian Wojnarowski is doing right now, like, man, he has like absolutely slayed this thing throughout the day. Like, he's way ahead of everybody on almost every single transaction. So, shout out to Woj for using his mystical powers and being the leader in the clubhouse.
Yeah, not only having the deals, but then also having, like, the parameters.
Yeah.
He's just
yeah, he is
one of the best.
And we should announce too that the Brooklyn Nets have waived Harry Giles. That's so not great. You never know what happens there with Harry Giles, but he's actually played pretty decent when given a shot. But they've made a couple of trades that were 2-for-1s or 3-for-2s stuff today.
Yeah.
So they had to clear up roster spaces in order to do that. And unfortunately, that's where Harry Giles lost his roster spot there.
Ramsey in the Chatty House asked a great question that I don't have the answer to.
Okay.
Can the Pistons field a team against the Blazers tonight?
Maybe.
Asar Thompson's still there. Jaden Ivey's still there. Marcus Sasser, yes.
Cade Cunningham can play. He just sat last night.
Right, his knee was managing.
Yep.
Alec Burks gone. Killian Hayes gone. Jalen Duren, that's probably your starting five.
Muscala.
Mike Muscala is still there, but Isaiah Stewart's out. Kevin Knox is hurt. James Wiseman's there.
Danilo Gallinari.
Bojan Bogdanovic gone. Joe Harris gone. Muscala, Gallinari. Stanley Amude is a two-way player. Monty Morris gone. Jared Roden, two-way. Malcolm Castellon, two-way.
Jared Roden was a Sacramento King for a short amount of time. I think he played Stockton last year.
So they have 11 dudes, and if you take out their two-way guys, they have 8 dudes.
Yeah, they should be able to field a team. And hey, it's a trade deadline. This is what happens.
Yeah.
So
that's the last thing the Pistons honestly were probably not super thrilled they won last night. Like the players were, the front office is like, nah, pull the plug, get rid of everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tough look.
Yeah, it was. The entire game last night was a tough look, man.
Yeah, it was tough. I don't know. It did give you a beautiful video that's gone viral.
Yeah, boy, has it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the reaction to that, and if you didn't see it, the Kings before the game when they were announcing the Lions lineup, or excuse me, the Pistons lineup.
Yep.
Just showed the highlight over and over and over from every single angle of Brandon Ayuk's diving 51-yard catch against the Lions, the Detroit Lions in the NFC Championship game.
The face mask.
Yeah, swung the game. If you missed it, the 49ers are down 2 touchdowns. Should have maybe been an interception. Instead, it turns into a 51-yard catch for the 49ers. Lions end up blowing a 17-point second-half lead. Niners are going to the Super Bowl. The Lions are not. And so the Kings last night just played that on loop. That's funny. Like, that's just a funny little dig that if you don't watch much football, you're not going to really get it. If you do watch football, you're like, ah, I get it. I posted the video on the internet. First of all, it's gone viral, which is the most annoying thing that could possibly happen. But the amount of vitriol towards the Kings for this.
Oh.
From Kings fans?
From Kings fans?
Kings fans.
Really?
Very PO'd. Some. Other Kings fans loved it. And that's the thing, is this is not 100% either way. This is just some people. So I've had Kings fans mad about it. Not at me, at the Kings. Kings fans mad about it. I've had Lions fans very obviously mad about it. When their own guy, CJ Gardner-Johnson, 2 weeks ago was waving goodbye to 49ers fans, trolling them in the second quarter.
Yep.
And the Pistons at least held on to their lead. But that's a separate thing. So Lions fans are obviously mad. You've got other people who are just like Laker fan, who's like, classless organization. Like, they didn't make fun of somebody's dead relative.
Yeah.
They did not boo Jerry Krause's widow. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's classless.
Yes.
This was a funny little intra sports dig. And then there were a bunch of arguments about how does Sacramento claim San Francisco? Like, they don't. Like, there's 49er fans here. There's Raider fans here.
Yeah.
Like, it's just Northern California. It's just kind of so it's a big argument about that. It has been a mess, dude. And then I'm sitting there and I'm going, you know what? The Kings are up. They're playing well. As long as they win this game, this will blow over here in the next couple of days. But then they lose, which leads to a whole new cycle of people like, oh, and then what happened?
Bad karma.
And then yeah, like, dude, I live tweeted the game underneath it. It says at the end what happened. So I just, and that's the other Lions fans like, oh, karma. Mm. Like, yeah, you should know about that. Your safety was trolling fans in the second quarter of a game and lost.
Yeah.
So you know exactly like how it goes. It's sports, dude. It's supposed to be fun. Like, I don't get the vitriol over this funny little like Detroit thing, football thing. It's Super Bowl week. And then FYI, the Kings, while the Pistons were shooting free throws, every time they shot free throws last night, put a 49ers logo on the scoreboard.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah. And that's just,
were seeing all kinds of things.
I'm dialed in, dude. NinersWire.com, peep. So they would show this and it would get people either loud in some way. Pistons fans would boo it. People who are Niner fans would cheer, whatever it was. And it's just like it's on the scoreboard. They're not trying to be like, hey, Detroit Pistons, look at this 49ers logo. We're going to get you. I think it was an attempt to get the crowd loud. So I enjoyed what they did. I enjoy what the Kings do from a game ops perspective.
They're the best.
They do a really, really
good job. They really do a good job.
And that's just a funny little thing that I thought was funny, and boy, it really, and there were, like I said, there were a lot of people who were like, this is great, but it really angered some folks.
Oh, yeah.
It's not why I promise the Pistons didn't look at that and go, you know what, we're going to try tonight.
Oh, we are going to try.
Is that, wait, they're seven doing wins. My guy Kendall Vildor like that? Nah! Not tonight.
Not tonight.
We're avenging Dan Campbell's all grit group. I promise that's not what happened. It's tough in hindsight, but that's how it goes. That's called sports.
Yeah.
Ugh. Anyways, we'll talk a little bit more Super Bowl coming up. We'll also talk about the teams around the Kings getting better in the West, and we'll get you updated on all the latest in the NBA trade deadline. Did last night change our minds once again? We'll tell you on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.